are you doing?
I am okay. I am anticipating the arrival of our brand new bed tomorrow.
Ooh, that's exciting. New bed is always exciting.
It's one of the weirdest things getting a new bed. So we went in there for just a mattress, and of course, you know, we walked out with, you know, just more than a mattress. We're gonna have one of those beds that like does like flips and shit.
Oh, like a Sleep Number?
Kind of, yeah. So it won't go independently, but we can raise our heads, our legs. It's got like a massage function. And under bed lighting, which is a thing that I... So that's a thing that I didn't know that I needed like, until I knew it existed. What? So, no bullshit. It has motion sensors all around it. And if you get up in the middle of the night, it turns on a soft white light or whatever color you want so that you don't trip over shit in the middle of the night.
Good God. Good God. Good God. I got the same old frame we had for the last 9 years.
Yeah, it was one of those things to where we kind of got talked into it a little bit.
Say, salesman got shit.
Yeah, he did. But, like, it's something that it's, like, I at least see the value in it. Not, like, it was a thing that I wasn't anticipating buying, but I don't feel like I was pushed into it. I felt okay about making
it. I like how you're already justifying it. Like, you've said it out loud now, and now you're like, okay, now I need to do the work to make other people understand why this is okay, because look, he might use this as a bonus or an opening.
That's fair. That's fair. That is fair. But honestly, like, I justify it like this. For something that makes so much, like, that impacts your life so much as, like, the amount and quality of sleep that you get, I'm like, if I spend extra money and it's worth it, it's okay. Because as it stands right now, I don't sleep through the night. I constantly toss and turn in pain. Yeah.
Well,
my hips, my shoulders, like, exactly. It's like, it's never
a good
sleep.
I feel like some of that was what the salesman used. Like, you're using it back on me at this point.
He's like, come on, man. Like, you know,
hey, man.
Your life in bed. You better get a return on your investment.
That's
I'm like,
right.
Mr. Sir.
That's awesome.
Not planning on buying a mattress cover for it, and he was like, I'll tell you what, I'll waive the delivery fee if you pick up that mattress cover. It's like, I'm making out by $50.
This guy
right here, he's like, yeah, you know, oh, sold out of my own pocket here.
He just grabs an assistant and be like, take down the free delivery sign right now.
Yeah.
Time to get your fix. It's a horrible gaming podcast. It's not good, it's not great. Horrible gaming podcast. It's not even what you would call fair. It's really not that good. Horrible gaming podcast.
Hello, my name is Zachariah with Old Man Gaming. You, dear listener, have chosen, for whatever reason, to listen to another horrible gaming podcast. I'm not alone. Usually I'm never alone. With me is...
Neil, aka Tiny Wizard.
So, we got a show today. We are talking about some stuff, some gaming stuff. We're actually going to do a news topic today, although I don't think it's a news topic that's necessarily going to invoke the rage of me, so we're gonna talk about
that's
it.
That's why it's safe. It's safe.
I love that the show has now boiled down into, like, can we do this as a topic? Is Zach gonna lose his goddamn fucking mind again?
I think we've been doing. I think it's been okay. I think it's been going very well.
At 201 episodes, the show is all about, we treat Zach like a wild cat that has wandered into the studio, and we don't know how to deal with it.
like a drunk father figure. You want to be very careful what you say.
Just get him the beer. Don't drop it. All right. So, but before we get into that, we got to thank some people who made this show possible. Number one, behind our ugly mugs is a custom graphic that's provided by Mr. Mark Bell. We thank him for that. And then, of course, the theme song for this show and all the shows here at Old Man Gaming are provided by the man who makes the music, my brother Nick Van Sliders. We thank him for that. We're going to be right back with everybody's favorite fan interaction.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
So that brings us to our first segment, our most important segment, that is fan interaction. That's where we, the co-hosts, talk to you guys, the fans. We read out your comments and all the places we may find them. So let's get into this. Our last episode was our 200th episode. Woo! We're now in 201, so we can be
now complacent. It doesn't matter until we hit 300.
Exactly. It's all downhill from here, baby. It's just complacency and just a downward slope into eventual
mediocrity and obscurity.
Obscurity, that's the word I was using too. Although we're already obscure, so I guess it doesn't matter. So we'll start off with William Hohen. Hi! Exclamation point. Happy 200th. I did listen to them all. You can thank the pandemic for that. You reading my comment with Stella was quite cute, and there's nothing to be sorry about. Making friendships is definitely the biggest payoff of making a YouTube content for me, too. It's quite amazing, to be honest. I'll hope you'll stop being sick. My comment aged like milk. AAA developers be like, hey, don't expect us to be passionate about the games we make. And then he said, thanks for the show. Was a really good one. Cheers. Hashtag still looking forward to the 1,000th. Son of a bitch. Will is the one who said to me that I'm fucked because of him. Because he said that I always sign off with, as long as you keep listening, we'll keep making them. And he's like,
yes.
I'm always going to be listening. So you fucked yourself, Zach. And I'm like, seems I have. So I guess I'm doing 1,000 of these motherfucking things. All right. As far as the other stuff, thank you. We are very happy to hit 200. It is a milestone for us. It's very special. Special indeed. And yes, AAA companies are shit. And honestly, if I might go on a little tangent, I don't think AAA companies are AAA anymore. I'm going to tell you right now, I have played great games, tons of Game of the Year nominees from this year. I would say one of them would be considered a AAA game. The best games that have come out this year, the real knockdown, drag-out, awesome ones, have come from AA or single-A studios. And now you've got Larian and Baldur's Gate 3, which is destroying the fucking internet right now with how good it is. AA studio again. So we've got to... I think AAA is too wrapped up in their own bullshit, too wrapped up in the microtransactions and the extra money and the money, both spending and getting. And I think they're crashing. I think AA is where it's at right now.
Yeah, it's going to be that or the indie scene. I mean, I would say, though, like to kind of put it into perspective, I think it's more so AAA hasn't changed anything really in the way of like how they present what they're looking for. And that's why, you know, it's more of the same. It's not that they're necessarily failing. It's just that they're failing to innovate. If you kind of like,
I see what you're saying.
Where I'm going with
it. I see what you're saying, but I'm going to counter that slightly by saying the big change is not only do they continue to do the same thing over and over again with these franchises, which is I think what you're saying. They're not innovating. They're not doing anything new. It's just another Halo, another God of War, another Horizon. The big problem is them stuffing that with new ways to take money from you and new caveats. They're taking things that were already there, that were already established, and they're doing it again, but they're adding shit to it. They're not adding good stuff to it. They're adding shit to it. So I would say they are kind of failing in that way, because not only are they failing to innovate, but they're adding baggage to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To continue, Asylum 66. Why did the Twisted Metal Gear die? It's time for Vigilante 8 sequel on Game Pass. That would be fucking awesome. That would be fucking awesome. I would love to see a Vigilante 8 or a Twisted Metal, like, that genre return in earnest. And I just to see some of the cool stuff with it. I would love to see a Twisted Metal Battle Royale. That would be fucking sweet as hell, man. Get me in.
Yeah, miss the boat on that. Perfect Life has come back. I know there was
that genre has gone. That fucking whole like genre has dropped off the fucking face of the planet. Yeah. The car combat thing is just done.
Yeah, I know. I'm pretty sure there was talk of like a year or two ago of a potential like reboot of Twisted Metal. I think now it seems more likely that could happen given the response to the show. Mm-hmm. I'm about 3/4 of the way through, by the way.
You enjoying it? Are you liking it more now?
Yes, I very much am.
I told you, didn't I?
That first episode was rough. But afterwards,
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it was. I think it was an adjustment period, maybe. I think the first episode
feels rough because it's getting you into the mindset for the rest of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then once you're like, oh, this is what this is going to be, then you're in for the ride, you know? But I'm glad you're enjoying it.
I definitely am enjoying that show. But, yeah, I feel like that's one of those things to where... it definitely missed the boat where it would have potentially have been like the perfect timing for it to jump back in. But it really is a weird sort of blank open space that nobody's doing anything with.
That's 100% right. You know, I'll tell you what.
They probably just slap it into frickin' Fortnite at some point and that's what's going to happen. They won't make a full thing.
I think that especially now, because all of those games came out when it was all local. Like, local deathmatch, local co-op. Like, I really want to see it now in the era of, you know, online, when you can really have some fun with that. You know, plus our processing powers are so much bigger, you can have such bigger maps, you know. And, man, I'd love a Twisted Metal or a Vigilante game where I get to customize the car from the ground up instead of just picking a character. There's so much you could do with those series, and they've just been dead and gone. So I'd love to see it come back. Jason, you played the tutorial nest. An update broke nests. So that's funny. So they updated it. They broke it, and that's why it broke for us, apparently.
That's what happened? Yeah, okay.
So that was post-content. DLC shit.
Oh god, that was
we
haven't done it in a hot minute, but we are still doing it.
We haven't missed an episode. The weird timing is if we do it this Wednesday, we won't have missed an episode. So I don't know. Moving on, Jason, if you ain't playing games on murder, death, kill, nightmare, lethal, insanity mode, you ain't really playing the game, which I am assuming he is being very sarcastic here. I think that whole mindset of get good scrub is stupid. It's just the dumbest shit ever. Moving on to Jason again. If you play Diablo, 2 is where it's at. 3 was okay. I like it decently. 4 is shit, what I played of it. And yet, when it launched, it's all anyone was playing, and people are still playing it, and I don't understand. I'm going to say this, Jason. This is what I was saying. And there's more comments on this, but what I don't understand is, like, nobody likes it. Like, the critics are fine on it, but we all know critics are dick-sucking cock goblins. But, like, the people, nobody's happy with it. Nobody's been happy with it. Like, they've been angry with it since it came out, but it's got the biggest player count. It's insanity. That right there is the level of, like, when I get upset. Like, why rage comes out of me. Because, like, you're choosing this. This is the game you're choosing as a game player. Not you, Jason, but everybody who's playing this, like... You can't go on Reddit and get really upset about a game that you paid $70 for and still play. Like, you're insane. It's like this weird, like, hurt myself complex. I don't
yeah,
know.
The this game really sucks and still playing. like, don't get me wrong. I've done that before just because I was at a loss as to, like, why. Like,
yeah.
The very first game that we got, that we bought for our Xbox One was the Elder Scrolls Online.
Right.
And I was expecting, from what it looked like, it was like Skyrim, but MMO. I'm like, right. Maybe this is it. Maybe this is the time that I can get
it. I was excited for it, too, and it did not work out for me.
And I think I played 4 hours of it, and I'm just sitting there like, is this it? Like, am I missing something? Because well, that was the thing. Like, when I first got into Skyrim, I've talked about this before, it took like 4 hours for it to click with me, and then I loved the game. But it didn't do the same with the Elder Scrolls Online, and I did, like, keep playing it for a while, and then eventually we just stopped. Kayla played about as much as I did. Plus, I also got pissed, too, because it updated, and I had the skill tree built out, and it's like, oh, you gotta reassign everything, because we did an update, and I was like, yeah, I'm done.
I will say this. What bothers me even more about this is this isn't one that everybody was like, this is going to be a great game. This wasn't like a Cyberpunk or a Starfield where everybody's like super fucking hyped about it. This game, nobody was happy about it when it got announced. Nobody was happy about it leading up. Like, nobody wanted this, right? And then it comes out and everybody buys it anyway and then is upset that they bought it. Listen, again, I can't say this enough. They're not going to stop making these games until you stop buying them. They're just not. Mm. It's the only way. Like, they don't care about your Reddit post. They don't care about how upset you are. They don't. It's just, it drives me nuts. And I said most of that, but in a much more condensed version. I responded to him and said, and still nobody likes it. The complaints to concurrent players does not make sense. To which Asylum 66, who had been playing it, said, I deleted it finally, held up my end of the bargain, playing it, and not a moment more. What is funny with Asylum is I know Asylum, and I know why he played it. He has a friend, we both have a friend, who really wanted to play this game. So he talked Asylum into getting it, Asylum got it, and I remember the whole time Asylum was like, don't get this game. I'm playing it with him, I promised him I'd play with him. It's terrible. I don't like it. I don't like it. The minute I switch to something else, I'm done forever. It's very funny. And then finally, we got Bloody Nose chiming in. Congrats on 200. Amazing accomplishment. Here's to many more. I do want to say really quickly, thank you, Bloody Nose. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Asylum. Thank you, William Hoon. You're always great commenters. We love you guys. But Bloody Nose and William Hoon also have their own channels on YouTube. Of their own name, go check them out. They're a lot of fun. They're a lot of fun to watch. So, that's Fan Traction, my friend. We can get into our topic today.
Alrighty.
What are we talking about today, guys? Well, we're talking about Nintendo. They have decided, a report has come out, a relatively credible report that we will be seeing a new Nintendo next-gen console next year. So we're going to break down that report. We're going to talk about its validity. We're also going to talk about what that console may or may not be. We're going to do that in just a second. We'll be right back.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to our talking points. Nintendo. A credible report has come out. Now, this is not an official announcement from Nintendo at this point, I believe. I think we can all say that's correct. Has there been an official announcement? I didn't think
I wouldn't call it an official announcement if I remember correctly. It was basically confirmation, but not like,
yeah.
Like to the press, tell the people, expect the new Nintendo next year. Like,
So, yeah. So we've got a credible report that Nintendo is aiming for next year for a next-gen console. So whatever is going to be replacing the Switch. And that has a lot of people, you know, theorizing what's happening. We also have some interesting news on the game end of things and what's coming out for the Switch coming out and stuff. So, I don't know, where do you want to start on this, man? Do we want to talk about whether we think this is credible or not to start?
Yeah, we can start with that part, okay. If it's credible or not.
Yeah, what do you think? I'm going to guess you're immediately going to say yes, it is.
I do think it is. because we are very much. I really think that this is legit because we are kind of getting to the point where the Switch came out at what 6-7 years ago at this point. And that is kind of where the lifespan of consoles typically hangs out, that like 7 to 10 year mark.
Yeah.
So I would say it's absolutely credible that they, I mean, we've basically had tons of different rumors about they are working on something. This year, if I remember correctly, I think it was dev kits went out. Was like the main crux of this.
Yeah.
So like when a dev kit goes out,
there's something,
you know, there's something going on. Like if there's something in the pipeline, which we knew eventually there was going to be, but we didn't know precisely when. This is the time that feels right. Cough, cough, Microsoft, Sony, to where we would expect a new sort of console, anything along those lines. What about yourself? How legit?
Well, I know since I just called you an optimist, you're expecting me to be negative. I do think this is relatively credible. I don't think it'll be 2024. I think we're looking at early 2025 for this. I think if you look at when Switch released, it was early in that year as well. So I feel like it's
like a March or something.
Yes, exactly. I think it's very optimistic. I think it does line up logically with what you're saying. I'd actually add a couple of points. One of the big ones is Nintendo does not like to go in the year that other companies go in for a very specific reason. They don't want to take those shots then. I think one of the... I mean, if you really break down the Switch's success, right? It was something different. Like, its weird kind of portability to not portability features made it a very different system from what you were playing with the other ones. So and Nintendo does that. They love their gimmicks, but it was a gimmick sort of system in that way. But the other thing that I think people don't talk about as much is the fact that it's a system that came out in an off year. The other systems had been out for, I want to say, a year or two at that point.
It was about 2 years.
Yeah. So, like, people right then are like, they've got their money, they don't have anything else to spend it on, why not buy a Switch? And I think that added a level to it, and I think Nintendo saw that. Like, they are very much like, we're not going to go in the year they went, we're going to go in our own year. And this would be roughly 2 years, well, it's more than that, but you see what I'm saying. Like, it's an off year, there's no other consoles coming out in those years, there's nothing else for them to be spending their money on. So the whatever the Switch, you know, the new Switch will be kind of on its own, and that's where they like to be. Nintendo likes to be in its own space. It likes to be... It doesn't really like to compete with people when you really look at it. They don't compete with people on the hardware because they do their own gimmicky thing. They don't really compete with people in the space that they compete. They want to be the only people being talked about at that time. That's what they... You know, that's where they bread and that's where they butter their bread, ladies and gentlemen. And I think so. I think this is credible. I think it's probably still going to be early 2025 before we see anything from it. But I think it's credible. I think it's real. I think dev kits have gone out. I think there are people doing for it. You remember Switch too? Switch came out of the blue. Nobody knew Switch was coming. And then all of a sudden they were like, in 3 months, this is coming out. And they just showed a fucking bunch of trailers for it, and then all of a sudden Nintendo was back on the map, you know?
Well, I remember when the Switch first came out, I had no faith in it. I remember talking to multiple people and mentioning that thing is going to be trash and it's going to sink Nintendo because the Wii U was such a trash fire in all of its other facets, its announcement, its like marketing, how like it was explained to people what it was. I remember watching the thing and poor Reggie is up there. He's like, it's the Wii U. Here's the Wii U gamepad. Use your Wiimotes on it. I'm like, so like, is it like, is the Wii the pad or is it like a refresh of the console? Like, nobody knew, like, what the fuck. Yeah. So then when the Switch rolls around, you see how bad they bungled it and just burned all the bridges with their third parties and their development and everything like that, especially EA. And like, yeah, you're supposed to have this other console that's supposed to take off and be like the next best thing. And oh, by the way, we're also killing the DS lineup. We're just going to make our home consoles a portable and call it a day.
Right.
It was bad all around.
Well, it didn't have the power. The minute you looked at it, you're like, there's no way. And it didn't have the
power either.
That's going to be able to contend. But I will say, I think what kept the Switch alive was they brought that third-party market back. Mm-hmm. They basically opened up the Nintendo store to anybody who wants to go on there. Hell, there were porn games on there for a while.
Yeah.
And I think that allowed... That really allowed them to flourish in that space. But so I think we're both agreed that it's credible. But what is it, man? What is it going to look like? What is it going to do? Are we staying portable? Are we doing something else with it? And I have some concerns. I have some big concerns about it. But I'll let you say some stuff first.
I think we should do what is it going to do and what is it... I would say it's going to be portable still. It has to be. Nintendo would not have killed the 3DS, their entire handheld line, to roll it into their console if they weren't going to have some sort of portability factor along with it. One thing that I'm scared that it's going to do, but I feel like it's going to do, is it's going to be a little more powerful. But it's not going to be on par with a lot of other things out there. Yeah. I feel like it's going to rely heavily on streaming in some cases.
Ooh, okay.
Which I really... Because Nintendo has to Nintendo it up somehow. Everything. They can have the greatest ideas and the greatest things, but they have to have some weird, like their own weird thumbprint on what it is and what it's going to do. To make it as strange and bizarre as it possibly can. I do think it is going to be backwards compatible. I don't know as if at this point, especially with the massive install base that they have with the Switch, that they can walk away from that, because all of their prior consoles have had backwards compatibility with the previous generation since, what, Jesus, the Game Boy. The only exceptions being the NES, Super Nintendo, and 64.
Mm-hmm.
The GameCube, GameCube games played in the Wii, Wii games played in the Wii U, so on and so forth. The Game Boy Advance games and Game Boy Color games and all that were all interchangeable on the Game Boy Advance.
Well, backwards compatibility is expected nowadays.
Yeah, for sure. But what I don't think it's going to do is I don't think it is going to refresh as much as we think it's going to. What else can you do other than do the thing but more powerful?
So, here's my thing. I think some of the things you said I'm completely in agreement with. A couple of things you surprised me with. The streaming angle is very interesting to me. I didn't really consider that, but I guess that is a possibility. Here's my big concerns, right? And that brings us right up to that question of power, right? You got the Steam Deck out there right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which Steam Deck's baseline model is about as expensive as your Switch. They're right on par. However, you definitely don't. You're going to have to buy some memory and stuff like that, whereas you don't necessarily have to do that with the Switch right away to play the Switch games. But if you're talking high-end Steam Deck, right, it's pretty expensive, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's on par with an actual console, right? With the Switch... So what is the Switch going to do power-wise? Like, and what will its price be? Because you can't, like, your model right now, you have never really lowered your price. So, no. So Steam Deck's on par with you in their lowest model, and Steam Deck plays full-on fucking PC games, all right?
That's true.
That the Switch can't even touch. Like, can't even begin to touch. Can't even buy a ticket to the stadium in which those games play. Like, it's so far removed power-wise. So, you're really in a weird spot here, especially because I think one of the things that Switch did that kept itself alive was it opened its eShop up, and it actually had a lot of third-party games on it that you wouldn't normally see on a Nintendo system. Mm-hmm. That being said, though, we have definitely noticed in the last year or two, with the much more powerful games that can't play on the Switch, the only way to play them is with that crappy-ass cloud-based technology that just doesn't freaking work on the Switch because it's Wi-Fi. I mean, you can do the Ethernet with the OLED model or whatever, but it doesn't really hold a candle to playing it on a console or a PC. So, and those games, they're only getting bigger. And I'm not even talking about AAA. I'm talking about AA. You know, you're talking mm-hmm. about some of the, like what I said at the top of the show, AA games are some of the best games that we've played this year. I don't think those games could play on the Switch as it is. So that really becomes the question. Like, do you crank that power, but you have to crank the price too? Or do you try and do streaming and lose that third-party support again? I think they've put themselves weirdly in the same position. I see history repeating itself, like, with the Wii U. Because you had the Wii, which came out and had a gimmick, didn't have enough power to compete with Xbox or PlayStation, but it survived on that gimmick or whatever. Whereas Switch mm-hmm. is much more viable than the OG Wii, in my opinion. Nonetheless, the Wii U came along, and the Wii U couldn't contend. Now we're in this position where the Switch survived, but any Switch next gen is going to have a really hard time competing with what's out there. And I could be mistaken. We've been mistaken before. It won't be the first time. It won't be the last time. But I think the big problem is power. How do you make that Switch more powerful to handle those games? Can you make that Switch more powerful to handle those games? And if you do, who is going to pay $500, $600 for it?
So I know one thing that came out with this was a report that it is going to have an LCD display to, quote, keep the cost down. So that kind of sends triggers to me of they're going to be a much more powerful system moving forward. But I don't know how much more they're willing to really super go or be. I think that they may try to do something that's on par with the Steam Deck performance-wise, because truthfully, like you said, they kind of have to do that at this point. You can't put another Switch console out that's just a tiny ping higher than than the current one and say, this is the Switch 2, is better on paper, but you know, it's just another reason to sell your hardware.
Yeah.
The Switch is still getting on with, I mean, granted, the hardware is dated, but they're making games that are still viable on that system. Of course, they're not blowing the doors off of anything.
No.
But I think that they are going to be looking to move themselves forward graphically and performance-wise. But I don't know if they came out with a Switch that was $400 for the console, I think that would be the perfect realm for it. With the performance behind it, and sure, they'd cut some costs to, you know, do an OLED model, you know, 3-4 years down the line. Okay, cool. But I think that they could do that. Now, what they cannot do is try to position a $500 console that is going to be in direct competition price-wise with a PS5 and Xbox, because they've been trying to avoid that direct conflict for a while. You cannot price that console at the same price as one of those home consoles and not expect those criticisms to be drawn.
Well, and I want to point out, you're not even just putting yourself in direct competition with the PlayStation Xbox. At $500, you're competing with the high-end Steam Deck, too. Mm-hmm. Can you play in that yard? The other thing that I'm going to say, I think $400 is still too high, because unless they have some serious power behind it.
Right.
You know, like they have to come with some power. They have to be able to play some of these new games. They have to be able to have some good third-party support. It has to, because The Switch had a rocky launch, not in sales, but in a lot of the stuff they presented, right? Like, they didn't really have Nintendo Online right away. They didn't have any real way to buy games right away. Like, there was a lot of stuff that was very rough in the beginning of the Switch. A lot of features, like Bluetooth support wasn't even there. Like, you couldn't have Bluetooth headphones on a portable device.
It still sucks, by the way. I don't know if you've tried.
I've definitely used it. It's all right.
It's not intuitive.
No.
It is not intuitive at all.
No, not at all. You have to go through like Nintendo. Three or four menus. I think that but still, like, those kind of features aren't there. And I'm going to tell you right now, they're all in Steam Deck. Yeah. They're all in Steam Deck. So if you're going to put out a $400 portable console, you need to have all that. You need to have it ready. It can't be a work in progress. It can't be like, oh, here's a console, but you can only buy physical games with it. And there's no Bluetooth, and there's new online play, and there's no nothing. That's another thing that they need. The Switch is really rough on online play.
Yeah.
Like, there's Switch Online, which allows you to play with people online, so you're already adding an extra price. Which, fair enough, you get a couple of free games with it, and you get all of the old classics. So it's worth it. I'm not going to say it's not. But at the same time, it's a pretty shitty way to play online with the Switch. There's no way to talk to people. There's no microphone support. If you want to talk...
There is. It's through a third party. It's an app that you download on your phone.
Right. So you have to do it through your phone. There's no way to do it on the Switch itself. Like, that kind of stuff needs to be fixed, because on the Steam Deck right now, I can buy a Steam Deck, I can plug a headset in, I can talk to my friends and play on it. So, like, if you're going to be a $400 system to compete with them, you need to come with that shit right off the bat. And Switch didn't have that. Switch survived on its gimmick, its portability, and its third-party support that it had never had before. For portability, like, oh, I can play Skyrim portable. I mean, that wasn't there right away, but games like that, it needs to have the shit like that Steam Deck does, at the very least, if you're going to come with a $400 price tag.
So here's a question, actually, you just kind of made me think of with us talking about this.
Let's do it.
Nintendo has never wanted to compete with Microsoft and Sony. Do you think at this point that they are accidentally forcing themselves into competition with something like the Steam Deck?
I don't think it's up to them at this point. I think the Steam Deck has made themselves, like, even in their language and their advertising, they're very much like, this is a better, like, without saying it, they're like, this is a better Switch. Like, and I think that you already have somebody out there doing that. Like, we're not talking about the ROG Ally or the Alienware monstrosity that costs like $1,000 to have your the Steam Deck is an affordable, portable PC in your hand that can play your PC games, most of them, relatively decently. I think that, like, that right there is competition for the Switch that they can't ignore. And I think one of Nintendo's big problems, objectively, not from my normal place of hate, I think one of their biggest problems strategy-wise is they always run from a fight nowadays. They don't want to fight anybody. They want to find a space that's unoccupied and live in that space. That's how they've survived. With the Switch, that's how they live. There's nobody releasing now. That's when we're going to release. Nobody's doing portability. That's where we're going to be. They like to find the little untouched corners of gaming and then build a garden there so that nobody comes around. Well, I hate to tell you, Valve has walked in and stomped all over that garden, and you're going to have to do something about that if you want to stay competitive in this market. I think that right now, any Switch owner, you're going to have to come with the ads to make them purchase a new system, because a lot of Switch owners our grandmas, or not grandmas, but, you know, like, the same people who bought Wii's, they got what they got out of it. They're still getting what they get out of the Switch. The people I talk to who are really into Switch are still really into Switch. And they're not going to switch it up because they have the games that they like. They have the things that they want. They have the way to play there. They don't need another Switch. So you're not really selling them. You have to find a way to get them involved again. And here's my big problem. So So you've got to go with one of two strategies. You either have to come with the power like we've already been talking with. And if you're going to come with the power and make it a significant competitor in the space of portable gaming, then you need to come with all the features. You need to come with the power. You need to come with everything that Steam Deck has, and probably a couple of more things. That's what you have to do if you're trying to do a premium portable gaming experience. The other way, which is how Switch has survived, but unfortunately put them in this position, is the gimmicky grandson way. Like, it's fun. We got the motion controls, and you can put it on your table, and you can do this. But the people who bought that system for that have the system for that. They're not going to buy another system that does the exact same thing, so you have to find a new gimmick. And there are no new gimmicks. So they put themselves in this position. Personally, that's what I think killed the Wii U a lot of the ways, is the Wii U didn't bring anything new to the table enough to make everybody who was still playing Wii Golf on Wii to switch over to the Wii U. And the Wii U didn't make the Wii a premium gaming experience, because those are the two places that you can sell your shit, right? You sell it to the casual players who are just there to have fun, who think something's really cool, they've got some money to blow, and they buy it. Or you sell it to the premium gamers, like me, like you, like Philbilly, who have PCs that light up with fucking Funko things in it because we're asshole nerds. And then we sit there and get mad at the internet because the MCU doesn't make sense. Like, if you want those people, you have to put numbers at those people. And Nintendo does not like to put numbers at people. So you have this really weird space where they either need to fight Steam Deck or they need to find another corner. And I don't think there's any other corners that are going to get anybody out of their seats, you know?
So, in all of this,
that was a lot of talking. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, you're fine. So in all of this too, you know, we kind of have to consider, like, is this why we've been really light on shit coming out for the Switch?
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you the first thing that came to my mind, because, I like abuse and I like being disappointed. We've had the Metroid Prime remaster came out earlier this year. There's just enough time to have the Metroid Prime 2 remaster come out at the end of this year. And then, lo and behold, a Metroid Prime 3 remaster come out at the beginning of next year to line up a perfect shot for a Metroid Prime 4 in the holiday season. I think, too, that would make a whole hell of a lot of sense, because Nintendo likes to do this one, this thing that they do all the time, is they have one big, massive game as their swan song for their current generation leading into their new generation.
Yeah, like they it's the launch, it's the launch system for the next system.
Yes.
It's a launch game for the next system as well
as the death knell for the other.
They did it with Breath of the Wild. Yep. And I was about to say that. I feel like the Metroid Prime 4 is going to be...
That's the one. Or at least,
yeah, they're lining it up to be... Especially with the groundswell under Metroid. You've got the Metroid Prime remaster that was very popular. Metroid Dread did really well. I feel like that's your big kickoff point. Again... I think you're in a position where, Nintendo has a hard road to make this system a viable anything, in my opinion. And I could be wrong.
That's the thing, is they do. I feel like with the amount of damage that the Wii U did overall, had the Switch come out and the Wii U not have been trash, I feel like we'd be having an entirely different conversation.
I don't know that we would. I think that
you don't think so?
Okay, so I think the Wii, a lot of people compare the Wii to the Switch, and they should, rightfully so. However, there are some key differences between the two systems. One of the biggest systems was, I think people were done with the Wii long before the Wii U came out. And I think that Switch still has a ton of goodwill behind it. I mean, I'm not a fan, but Tears of the Kingdom is huge right now. People are very much in love with that. They're still releasing games that are making people enjoy Switches. So I think that there is still more goodwill now than there was at the end of the Wii life cycle. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, so absolutely.
I actually think Switch probably would have done worse if it was in the place of the Wii U. I think the Wii U is a shitty system, but I think any system, if put in that position, was going to have a hard time.
Well, that's what I was saying is, like, if the Wii U had been a success,
okay,
and then the Switch came out, I don't think we'd be having a conversation, the next Switch, is it going to be good? Because I feel like that's the thing is, if it had been Wii and then Switch, yeah, of course, we wouldn't have had any sort of issue. Everybody still would have been, you know, the way they are. Overall, like, with their satisfaction with the Switch overall.
That's what I'm saying. I think it would have taken longer. I don't think Switch would have been the bang-away hit that it was if it was in the spot, because I think a lot of people were upset with how Nintendo handled the Wii in its endgame, you know?
Yes. So, I don't know. Like, I think, like you'd mentioned, I do kind of think like Nintendo has something to prove here, just because I feel like it's very much okay, don't fuck it up. Like, you did good this time. Don't do something fucking stupid like online friend codes or a dumb UI or having your headphones have to go through like three different menus to attach them or insert other Nintendo-ass Nintendo.
Right. Right.
I don't know. I'm optimistic overall because I think they learned their lesson with the Wii U.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I've been proven many times before.
Nintendo has definitely proved themselves to be a stubborn company, and a lot of people associate them with change. I don't think they've changed that.
That's the weird thing. I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah.
They are associated with big sweeping changes and innovation. Like, sure, it's like it's a gimmick.
Yep.
But they're not doing things that other companies are then like, "Hey, fucking that."
Yeah.
Because at that point, yes, Nintendo is being an innovator. They're taking risks. Yeah. They're making changes, sure, to spice things up, but I don't think that's what draws people in. I think it's Nintendo software and their full on just like their dedication to their main hardline property. The Switch worked out so well because, one, we had the trash fire that was the Wii U, and I feel like when people are like, "Oh, wait, the Switch is actually good. Oh, shit, we can care again." But, let's kind of face it a little bit here. The pandemic kind of helped it along.
Uh-huh.
For sure. Because what was it?
Animal
Switch was
Crossing.
Out for like 2 years. Yeah, Animal Crossing. Got
Animal Crossing and the pandemic. Yeah.
Ton of people onto the Switch.
Yeah. So, yeah. I don't disagree with that thought process. I think that, like, I think Nintendo is, you know, we talk about the innovation. It came out and everybody was like, "Oh, everybody's going to make a portable system now." Nobody made a portable system. Valve made a portable system way later. And
Sony's doing their whatever the fuck it is that they're doing
that
right now.
Garbage fire is. But like, still, like, nobody rushed to make a portable system. Xbox was like, "Hey, you can play any of our games on your fucking phone."
We don't need to make an entire system for it.
I think
our partners will make hardware that you can do with.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Exactly.
It's literally what they said when they announced what was it? Diablo it's like, "What? You guys have phones, don't you?" It's literally that.
That's exactly right. So I think that, like, I don't necessarily think they innovate. I think they find a gimmick. And then they use the same systems, the same games that they've had for years. They turn out some new ones of those. Good or bad, everybody buys the Zelda. Everybody buys the Mario. Mm-hmm. Everybody buys the Metroid. You know what I mean? They turn those out, and then they rest on that. I think that, like, one of the things that helped the Switch stay alive, like I said, was they opened up the Switch shop so that any fucking indie developer out there could put their shit on there, which gave them a library that they hadn't had, which was the biggest complaint about the Wii. Didn't have a library. They had, like, no fucking games on it when you really look at it. And the only games it had were very Nintendo-centric games. They fixed that with Switch. But, again, you end up in this situation where, like, now people are expecting... There are people who are expecting a new gimmick. They're not going to get one. They can't get one. And then there's other people who are expecting it to compete with something. And I don't think Nintendo can. So we're going to have to see where that goes. But I'm ready to wrap this Go To News. Do you have anything else you want to add?
No, I think that's it.
I think we covered it. We covered it. We got super mad or anything.
No, it was good. It was solid. You can feel it when it's good.
Yeah.
You can feel it. I'm like, yeah.
I will say this right before we leave. I will probably not be buying the next system.
And no?
If I had to say something, I actually kind of regret buying our Switch. I've had some fun times with it. I'm not going to say I haven't, and I have used it here and there. But outside of recording the occasional Prelude to Divorce show with Melissa, I almost never turn that on, and none of the games on it look really interesting to me. Like, it just doesn't do anything for me at this particular juncture, and it really... Like, there was a couple of great games that I got really into, but really, was it worth the $300 for Animal Crossing and Breath of the Wild? And that's it. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't know.
No, I get it.
So, I think that, like, this next time, I don't think necessarily that I'm going to be running out to get one like I did this last time. It stays dormant much of the time. So... Mm-hmm. I don't know. All right. Let's do the news, my friend.
All righty.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
That brings us to our last segment, ladies and gentlemen. This is the news. We collect headlines from the gaming world that we want you guys to know about. We want to riff about them. We just want to tell each other about them and see what each other thinks. So, Neil has 4. I have 3. I think we should alternate. Neil, go ahead and start us off.
All right, so apparently Activision lost all of its Transformers games. Hasbro wants them to be sold back on digital storefronts again. I think it was back in 2016 they were all taken off due to licensing and everything like that. Hasbro is straight up and down like, yeah, let's reissue the license. Let's get that shit back out there because Transformers movies are all up and everything. Sure, let's do it. Activision has literally no clue where the games went. They're gone. They're gone. Lost to the ether. Like, I don't... Like...
Oh, man. How awesome do you lose source code? Suing them. That would be so amazing during this particular...
How do you lose source code on a game? I feel like that's one of the things that, like... You kind of make sure you have redundancy or something.
You'd think you'd have an archive or a hard drive somewhere.
It's like a spare fucking key for your house. Nobody has just one single solitary key. Like, if you lose the key, you cannot get into your home. If you lose the source code for a material, you have copies of the game, but that's not the source code because you can't just peel it off of there and say, here's the game.
I will say... In their defense, Transformers games are some shovelware-y piece of shit. So probably they were like, "God, dump that. That's useless now that it's gone."
What was it? War for Cybertron was one that I was fucking about.
Oh, really?
I'd never played it, but I remember watching all the stuff for it. It was, if I remember correctly, it was like a third-person shooter action-adventure game.
There was one that was supposedly okay.
It may have been that one. I can't remember, though. I'll never get to fucking play it now because, you know...
It's gone. Unless they want to play data miners to fucking find that shit.
Right.
Alright, so... I guess we'll go with the most sad one first. And this just goes more to the reason that we don't want Microsoft to own everything. But they were working on a plan. They had actually rolled it out in countries that were not the U.S. in trial versions called Friends and Family Game Pass. I was really excited about this feature because I don't like the way the Game Pass features work now or even the sharing of it. But basically what it was is you could pay a higher price, and then you could basically like name your friends and family inside that and have one subscription for all the people inside. But they could have their own screen names and everything about it. I was very excited for this because I have a 7-year-old. I was excited for this to get rolled out. They have decided to get rid of that. Can't imagine why now that they don't fucking need it because the Activision merger is going through and everything, all the prices are going up. So, fucking za. Great job.
Yeah. And honestly, I think, I don't know, I think this can be applied broadly to all other streaming services. I swear by this, I will plant my flag in this and die on the hill. Now that the Netflix password sharing thing has gone through effectively without a hit, because Netflix is raking in cash, I will guarantee you any subscription service that people currently can and will share will pay more to do so.
Yeah.
Guarantee it.
Yeah. I can't believe that worked out for them. I really can't believe that worked out for them. Just I was not expecting people who were already not paying for it somewhere else to start paying for it on their own. I just wasn't. So, and I still want to get rid of Netflix. My wife likes it for the documentaries. I can't.
Perfect example. I'm one of those people who ended up having to purchase an extra household person. When I was informed, Netflix sent out to my email address and to anybody else who was deemed to have been sharing their Netflix logins. Said, hey, you have somebody on your account who's not a household using the shit. Just so you know, they're going to be cut off from the shit here soon. And they made it most the arcane convoluted world to do. But I had a conversation it's my mother who's sharing my Netflix. And I was like, hey, I warned you ahead of time when this was something that was coming down the pipes. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to pay extra for it. Well, she was like, I will pay you for that share of it, which fine, she did. But that's the thing is there are some people on it so badly that they would much rather pay $8 to somebody else in their family than pay, what is it, $14-$15 to have their own separate account. Right. And it turned into a whole thing over the course of months.
And
that's the thing is like once like people have been sharing logins and everything, they'll all implement it the same way. Netflix did by IP tracking and you can have a temporary pass and this, that, and the other, because they did that shit too, to where I could have somebody log in, you know, outside of my household for like a week, but you only get one pass a month or some shit. I still haven't figured that part out.
Because we go on vacation and we use all our streamings on vacation, so that's going to be a problem now. And like the fucking, like her dad was on our Netflix and we took them off, and then we put them on some of our other streaming services. And I'm just sitting there like, it's a matter of time. Matter of time before he's not on that. I think it's funny that, like, it's that human condition, because now streaming services are becoming way more annoying than just having cable.
Yep.
And soon we'll all go back to cable, and then streaming services will go away until there's one that's awesome, and we'll go back to that. It's the silly-ass loop. all right, it's your turn, man.
All right. Fun, interesting thing here. I think this may be one of the things we allow. Discord is actually going to allow you to stream Xbox games through the Discord app. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. On
you
Xbox.
You could actually do that on computer already. Like, I could stream to my people, no problem. But you can now do that with the Xbox console. You can stream to Discord, which is cool.
Yeah, pretty solid. It's streaming is definitely one of those things that is the future. Yeah. I just hope to sweet Christ we have the infrastructure before it really takes off, because I know I only have one internet service provider that charges me $100 a month for barely mediocre internet service.
All right, so my next one, another bad one, and in my opinion, more reason that I think Starfield might actually be delayed again. But Starfield will not have a playable demo at Gamescom. Gamescom is literally like 3 weeks before Starfield's release. Like, it's at the end of this month, if I recall correctly.
That sounds correct.
And Gamescom is huge. It is huge. Mm-hmm. Honestly, it is the biggest gaming expo now that
it's not E3.
Mm-hmm. Well, E3 isn't E3 anymore. So,
that's true. Yeah.
It's the biggest one now. I mean, unless you're talking about Summer of Gaming, which is a trailer fest. But Gamescom is actually still cool because they actually have players go and play demos. Like, it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. Like, people actually go there and get to play demos of future games. But Xbox has said that they're putting together this big show for Gamescom, but Starfield itself will not have a playable demo there. So this leads me to ask a very key question. Is Starfield playable? If you don't have a playable demo, is this game playable? Because it comes out in, if I'm checking my watch now, like 4 weeks?
About a month. Mm-hmm. So, I was just thinking that myself.
What are we doing here? And I'll tell you what, if they're going to delay it, I want to say this. I'm going to be fucking irate because every fucking YouTube commercial that I get is fucking Starfield and has been for 2 goddamn months. And so if I'm getting that much ads and this game ends up not coming out, oh man, ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
I think Starfield is playable, but in the loosest of terms. Because every single thing that we've seen come out about this game has just not been great. The fact that only like 10% of the planets are actually going to have anything.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to play it because it's going to be on Game Pass.
Yeah.
And here. I don't have to pay extra money for it.
Same here.
But yeah, I don't know. Is it
coming out in September? I don't know if it's coming out in September.
I think it's coming out in September regardless.
Ever the optimist.
I think it's coming out in September because we haven't heard shit all about it, like barely in this process at all. I feel like they've wanted to show stuff off. I think Microsoft is clenching their entire fucking asshole because it's going to be a trash fire and they know the storm is coming.
I mean, the thing is if they release a game that's not fucking finished and is a trash fire again after Redfall, like, you can't do that. You just can't keep doing it. Well, I guess they can. They bought everybody. Never mind. Doesn't matter if
that's
shit.
That's
they
why
own
I
all
think...
the things. Who gives a shit, right?
That's true. That's why I think that there's going to be no playable demo, because they're trying to limit their exposure. We already know that Bethesda doesn't do review copies or reviews until the day fucking of.
Yep.
So it's going to be a very much review in progress sort of situation. They're going to do just like they did with Redfall and be like, hey, so we got our hands on Starfield, and I'm not going to tell you that it's potentially a trash fire, and I'm not going to tell you that it's buggy as all shit. You know, they're going to do that sort of situation.
Well, and that's something I appreciated about ACG, who got to Redfall like 4 hours before release and actually put up a review anyway and was just like, this game's bad. Like, cancel your pre-order if you have it. And, like, yeah, they're not going to do till same day demos, so we're not going to see any of that shit, and we're going to end up in the... And guess what? If you pre-ordered it, your money's gone. You know?
Yep. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I still remain optimistic, but I don't think this is going to be a Skyrim situation. I think it's going to be more a Fallout 76, if I'm being honest.
I am still not convinced it's coming out this year. I'm really not. And I'm really not. The fact that there's no playable demo is really nervous. Yeah, but you're about
could
to
you
say,
imagine
could you imagine
if they delayed it now?
Okay, I can imagine it because it happened three times with Cyberpunk.
That's true.
So, and we said the same fucking thing, because we were, can you imagine them delaying? And then they delayed. Oh, shit. Remember everybody feared the fucking yellow and black tweet? Like, everybody would be waiting for it when it started to come close to the date. Yeah, I could definitely imagine them doing it to us again. I totally can. I will say, though, if this game comes out and it's trash fire, I mean, it doesn't
Microsoft has
all the money. They have all the money.
They could very well turn into Steam and just be like, "Ah, oh, we don't make consoles or shit anymore. Yeah, fuck that. We already own
everything. Oh, yeah, we own everything.
Buy our shit."
Yeah, yeah. You've already bought our shit. You just don't even know it yet. Are you on Games Pass? Yeah. Are you going to stop using Games Pass because Starfield sucks? No? Okay. Yeah. Have fun with that in your pooper.
Right.
So you're...
We talked briefly about Baldur's Gate 3. The launch crashed Steam.
Yeah, I saw this.
That game has been so highly anticipated and so popular that I believe it was in a 1 hour window that Steam completely crashed.
Yep.
Nobody could get their hands on the game or into their Steam account.
It was just they crashed it.
That's impressive. Absolutely impressive.
I want to say this. Larian, number one, love the fact that you did not send out pre-release stuff, I like reviews. I like that. I think everybody should stop doing that because it makes people pre-order and it makes people... It gives people a reason to give you a good review even if the game isn't good, right?
Right.
We could both agree on that. That being said, guys, you gotta let people preload the game. They didn't let anybody preload. That was the problem. So nobody had loaded it. So everybody went on, bought it, and started downloading it at the same fucking time.
A 200 gigabyte game.
It was
which
the
is not small.
Oh man, could you imagine the fucking servers being lit up at Valve? Like, oh no, the storm's
coming. You could cook a steak on those server racks.
There is part of me that thinks like there's one Larian exec just like sitting behind a desk like, yes, we did it. We destroyed Steam. but yeah, that is funny. I did see Philbilly has been streaming it on our channel.
Yeah, I saw the notification the other day.
I actually watched a little bit of it. It looks fun. I don't know if it's a game for me, but it looks really good. I'm going to say that. If you're at all into CRPGs, I think that's the one for you. One thing that almost made me purchase it was just the character creator. He goes through the character creator in his first stream, and he's just in it for like fucking 50 minutes. And I just love a character creator like that.
So you got one
more? I got one more. It's a fun one. So, Remnant 2. Remnant 2. It's my game of the year, without a doubt. I don't know if you've heard about some of the stuff going on with Remnant 2. Remnant 2 has a ton of secrets in the game, but super good secrets, okay? So, like, they let you play four classes at the start, unless you pre-ordered. Five classes, one of them. Otherwise, you can unlock it in the game. And then there's six hidden classes in the game, okay? Like classes, character classes. You have to find them and do stuff to unlock them, okay? And some of it's crazy secret. Other stuff's relatively easy to get. One of them, though, for a full week and a half after its release, nobody still knew how to get it. The only reason people knew it existed was data miners. That was it. Nobody had figured this out. Can you imagine, in our world of gaming, a secret in a game not being in a walkthrough 24 hours after a game was released, let alone a week and a half, right? Like, usually it's broken down left, right, till Sunday. And this thing was the Archon, right? So what's funny is the game designers actually said they put the class in because they knew they would be data mined. So they put it in for data miners. They're like, data miners hit us every time, so we decided to actually just put a class in that only data miners could find. So a group of a group got formed on Discord of data miners and players, just to figure out where this class was. Like, they assembled a crack team to fucking find this class, and finally this dude who actually did find the class was not a data miner at all. He just took all the information that he had been given from other people, and then he was like, what if we did this? And he did it, and he got through. But like the it's already on the internet, so I'm not spoiling anything, but to actually unlock this class, you have to unlock two other classes, the two hardest classes to unlock in the game. One of them, you already have to beat the game to unlock that class. The other class, you have to do this insane thing, this insane series of things that you have to do. Then you have to level up one of them to level 10, and then the other one to level 5. Then you have to get every item in the game that has the word corrupted in its description or in its title and equip them. Then you have to go to this very specific teleporter in this very specific area to go to this very specific door, which people have found the door. But if you then go to that door, you can then open that door and you go into this indie game called The Backrooms. Have you ever heard about The Backrooms? It's no. This indie game. Game Grumps played it at one point. It's like an indie horror game, but you go in and it's The Backrooms. It's The Backrooms. I don't know what connection they have to this. Maybe they just liked it, but the actual area is called The Backrooms and it looks just like this. And then if you walk around The Backrooms enough, you'll find the class engram to get it. That's how they unlocked it. But it was very funny because like for the first week, people were just like, a lot of people were like, it's not real. It's just people found this thing. It's like they decided not to put it in. It's not real. There's never another class. Like, and then other people were like, there's definitely a class. It's definitely in there somewhere. And like, then I watched Eric's and there was like proof that the class existed, but they still didn't know how to get it because it was footage that was leaked from a testing of the game by the developers just to prove that it was real. Like, crazy mystery, but it was solved by this one dude with 15 cans of Red Bull in his refrigerator. The story
That's insane.
The story is actually up on IGN, and I think it's really cool. It's been a long time in gaming since we had a secret like that. I think that's really cool.
You actually inadvertently reminded me of another story too. It's actually a little bit older, but so I won't go too into
it. Well, it's old man gaming meal.
That's so true. But there was actually a group who were trying to fight AI data scrapers who were writing stories about Destiny 2.
Okay.
So what they did was went on like a whole bunch of different like forums and everything, and we're talking about a secret boss called Glorbo, which
I remember that. I thought it was, of course, World of not Warcraft, a thing. But yeah.
Yeah, they did World of Warcraft as well. World of Warcraft and Destiny 2. And they were just talking endlessly about something that didn't exist, because if somebody used AI to write an article about something, Glorbo would show up in it because of how generative AI works. I think that's just hilarious. It's anytime the internet bands together to either solve a problem or fuck with somebody, primo shit right there.
Glorbo, you know what's going to end up happening is Glorbo's going to make it into a game somewhere.
Into a game, yes.
Because people will be like, we got to put Glorbo in.
So my last one is very interesting and actually made real news. Apparently there is a streamer, I'm going to butcher the name, but his name is apparently Kai Cenat. And he shut down Union Square in Manhattan. So he got on streams and was telling people that at a certain period of time that he was going to be handing out free PlayStations and gift cards. So as a result of fucking course, when, you know, some popular internet person says they're going to do a thing in a public space and give you free shit, people go to that public space expecting the free shit. It got so wild that the NYPD was mobilized, shut down the whole square, and shut down public transit.
He himself,
along with some other people who were starting some shit in the crowd, have been arrested.
Yeah, you can't do that. I'm pretty sure there's a law against that. It's called inciting a riot.
Yeah, I don't know what he thought was going to happen, especially
what was he
like
attempting to do. Like, was he trolling people? Like, I don't understand.
Well, that's the thing is, I had not seen because I really had only read this story when it first happened. Mm-hmm. I did not see if he actually had like shit on hand.
Okay.
Of course, the second that the police announced dude was arrested, the whole crowd scattered like fucking that because they knew they weren't getting shit at that point.
Yeah. What if he had like three? He gave it out to the first three and then it just stopped.
Oh, Jesus.
I've made a terrible mistake.
That's where the riot would have been. Yeah, that's where the riot
would have been. I've made a terrible mistake. I should have said the quantity. Well, that's your last one then, right?
That was the last one.
All right, let's get out of here. Glorbo
demands sleepy times.
All right, we'll be right back with everybody's favorite part of the show.
It's Glorbo. It's more Glorbo.
Glorbo.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that brings us to the end of the show and the shameless self-promotion that comes with it. Neil, would you like to plug anything, sir?
Faux show! We are still doing Redfall. I can't wait to do it again. Very excited for when we get to do it again. I can't get a feel of where we're at in the game. I feel like it's simultaneously we've barely done anything at all, but also feel like we've been playing the game forever.
That's the best part. It definitely feels like forever since we started.
It does feel like forever since we started. Literal crashes and all. That was great. Just so wonderful.
So bad.
It continues on until it does not.
Yes.
From what you said, it's freaking popular. So
the last episode didn't do too great. So
no.
Fingers crossed, it keeps sucking. but just to say, if it did ever suck to the point where we stopped playing it, the three of us would find something else to play.
Fine. It's fine.
We're
yeah, we
gonna
have
continue
luck.
To play together. The Lasso 3 will never die. All right, so as far as me, Glorbo demands you watch all of our shows.
No. Glorbo demands.
Glorbo demands it. He demands it, and we all praise Glorbo.
All praise be to Glorbo. Glorbo and Doug.
Sporadically, Philbilly is doing some Baldur's Gate 3 streams. They're a lot of fun. I caught one all the way through, and then the second one I watched a little bit of and fell asleep. But I plan on going back. They're fun. I like Baldur's Gate. I love that he got real nerdy with it. He actually came up with a backstory for his character in it. So I like it. Check that out. I'm going to probably be doing some gaming streaming coming up soon because my kid's going back to school. But we have plenty of game-related content on the show. Other than Redfall Down, we also have Prelude to Divorce every Sunday where my wife is mad at me for making her play video games. We have Thursdays, Old Man Gaming, Old Man GM, which is a lot of fun. It's where myself and Grandpa Gamer play WWE 2K23 against each other. He tries to get us canceled while I just try to make a good show. It's a lot of fun. And then we've got this podcast. And this week, a couple of special plugs. Number one, already up on Monday, I did five things we want to see in Remnant 2. I actually contacted a couple of community members who've been playing the game as well as me. It's a pretty good video. I'm pretty proud of it to bring five things back. Like I said, this is my game of the year right now, hands down. This game's blowing me away. I don't even want to play another game right now. It's amazing. So I'm very excited to do this video. And then, as of yesterday, if you're watching this, today, if you're listening to it, another music video from the man who makes the music came out, and this one's good. The song is called Cyberfunk. It is a song literally about the state of AAA gaming And I made a video just of Cyberpunk and Red Dead 2 Redemption bugs. It is absolutely fun. It's a really good video. Please check that out. It's 3 minutes of your time. It's great. And then, yeah, so those are the special gaming stuff this week. Other than that, we got role-playing game stuff on the TTRPG side. If you're into that, check that out. And then, as usual, you guys can contact us on Facebook at OhManGamingDH, on Twitter at OhManGaming9. You can join our Discord. The link is in the description below. You can influence this and all of our shows from there. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, as long as you keep watching, we'll keep making them. We'll see you guys next time. I saw some movies.
Oh, yeah. I know you said you saw the Mario movie. So, overall, I second your thoughts. That said, I was not super a fan of Seth Rogen.
Oh, I loved him.
As Donkey Kong.
I thought he was one of the best parts. Really?
I feel like he could have, like, he did his typical laugh that he does. And it's just like, I don't know. I just immediately.
Like, they were definitely that laugh sounds like a monkey. He's going to be Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Like, I don't believe for a second that he wasn't chosen for that. I actually liked him as that. My big problem was the pacing. I feel like that movie moves so fast, and there is so much packed into each 5 minutes that I'm like, you guys need to just slow down just a tad. You told a trilogy worth of movies in like an hour or 20 minutes, you know? And it was just like, how much fan service can we get into this? I don't know if you've seen the pitch meeting on it, absolutely hysterical. The guy's like, oh, so this, they're gonna remember things. And he's like, yeah, that's what this movie's about, remembering things. I want you to feel like you remember things in every scene, just every scene. I want you to be like, hey, I remember that thing. That's what I want.
It's definitely one of those things where, like, when they're journeying to get to the kingdom where the Kongs are, right, and it's just like they pass the herd of Yoshis, and it's like, hey, you know that thing? Yeah.
There's the thing.
And then when they're, like, in the field, they basically, like, they could have just turned around and stared at the screen and said, wait for the sequel, when they're talking about, like, galaxies.
Oh,
there's so many galaxies out there.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. I definitely did, though. Overall, I enjoyed the movie more than I thought I was going to. I did not hate Chris Pratt overall.
I didn't either. I never hate Chris Pratt. I like Chris Pratt. I think he's. I think the biggest problem Chris Pratt has is he won't say no to a movie ever. So he's just in all of them.
Yeah.
And I think people just eventually get sick of him. But, like, overall, I never hated him in anything. He's been in some shitty-ass movies.
Oh, yeah, no.
I've never hated him in something. We watched Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 over the weekend, too. I like Chris Pratt. He's great. But, like, I didn't hate him as Mario. I really didn't. I thought he did all right. I mean, he wasn't Charles Martinet, definitely, but, like, he did his own thing, and I was fine with it. I will say this. When you have somebody as funny as Charlie Day in your cast, to have him say maybe 12 lines of dialogue through the entire movie, I think is a mess. That was my only other problem, was like, I think maybe the thing I was most looking forward to was Charlie Day as Luigi, because I think I even said to you, like,
yes, you did.
The physical, if I were to imagine Luigi in a real world, it would be Charlie Day. It would have
been him, yes.
So, like, I was really excited for that. And then, he really doesn't even get a chance to say or do anything. So, like, I don't know. I would have liked a little bit more Charlie Day there.
I was expecting, like, when they get separated off and Luigi's by himself, I was expecting, like, a mini Luigi's Mansion situation. Not just, like, in generic World 8 castle area.
The minute the skeletons chased him into a castle, I was like, oh, he's in his mansion. This is going to be Luigi's mansion.
Yeah.
We already saw Mario Kart in here. So it's going to be Luigi's mansion. He's going to meet the Dr. G or whatever his name is. But Yeah, even if it wasn't that and he got an adventure of some type, that would have been nice, other than just a couple of scenes that were very clearly stolen by the Luma.
Yes.
The Luma was the funniest part of everything.
Best part, yes.
Yeah, without a doubt. But yeah, I liked it. I just wish it was a little bit slower. I also saw Mutants in Manhattan, the TMNT. Or, sorry, Mutant Mayhem.
Oh, yeah.
I saw the new TMNT thing. Obviously not as video game related, but...
Right. How was that? Because I know the art style fucks with me.
Melissa didn't want to go because of the art style. I didn't mind the art style. I didn't have any problems with it. I mean, especially when you have, Spider-Verse being so you know, it's own art style too. Like, I felt like they were kind of doing their own Spider-Verse thing here. I liked it. There was a couple of things, as being a TMNT super fan, that I was just slightly rubbed the wrong way about. Like, there was a couple of characters that were like in there just to be in there because
fan service.
Yeah, but they didn't even do their thing. Like, it was almost counter fan service. Like, like, there's a whole group of bad mutants, kind of, and those bad mutants all had really interesting and cool backstories in. And I don't mind when the TMNT origin changes, because TMNT, like, Mirage Studios sold them to everybody, so, like, their origin has changed so many fucking times over the years. That it's fine. Like, every TMNT movie, their origin is like completely different. And so I'm not bothered by that, as long as they keep it the same. But like, some of those characters, like, even in the different origins, still had cool solo stories, and they just kind of lumped them all together so that they could make a big group of mutants. And I was like, I understand kind of why you did this, but like Leatherhead, Wingnut, Mondo Gecko, Rocksteady, Bebop, they're all part of this group, and none of them get the story that they normally get because of this. They're just kind of like parts of this group. Yeah, and like, you can't even say that they're, because their origin is defined, but it's just like this brood origin sort of thing. I'm trying not to spoil it. So so you can't even go back and say, oh no, their origin was actually different, or there's more to it, because it's not like they all got together. They all came from the same place. So you're like, ah, that's a little bit annoying. That being said, I love the movie other than that. I thought it was some really cool nods to the Turtles. I love the voice acting. The dialogue in that is one of the best dialogues of any Turtles movie I've ever seen. The Splinter was really fucking weird. Jackie Chan's Splinter... You're not ready for it. I'm telling you that right now. You're not ready for his Splinter. I was not ready for this Splinter. He's racist, first of all, which is really weird.
What?
I'm telling you, you're not ready for Jackie Chan's Splinter at all. Like, the story they put on Jackie Chan's Splinter, I'm just like, oh, that is different. I also thought it was probably the best April O'Neil. I know the internet disagrees with me, but one of the best April O'Neils I've ever seen, too. Because she was actually, like, a real person. Most April O'Neils are not. I usually hate April O'Neil. I wish she wasn't in the story, usually, because she's just, like... She's either there to be eye candy and a rescue thing, or they go over the top on the other side, and she's, like, can do everything. You know what I mean? Like, she's never, like, really balanced or a character, I feel like. But she was in this. She was really well done. And like I said, the dialogue between the Turtles, just phenomenal. Just every scene, absolutely perfect. Loved that part of it.
I need to watch any of the movies, truthfully. Which is bizarre, because I know.
You're hurting me again.
I know.
You're coming to me with pain and suffering.
It's it's like a weird blind spot, because I feel like kids my age growing up definitely saw the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies. And I didn't. I had one single toy. It was one of the Turtles, I couldn't even remember which one, who shot pizzas out of his stomach. And I didn't have any of the pizzas. It was just the toy.
You're either really into Turtles or you're not. I get that. I've seen all of them. I will say, I think... It's hard, but I think this might be the best Turtles movie. I'm not saying this is a perfect Turtles movie, But the other Turtles movies are rough. I mean, first of all, the 80s Turtles movie with the suits was amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say it's not. But if you go back, it's very hard to watch because they can barely move in those suits. So the kung fu fights aren't really there. Like, it's still a really fun, really good movie. But that kind of holds it back a little bit. Plus, they're supposed to be teenagers. And when you go back and watch that one, they're very not teenagers. They're very adults. It's very strange. But it's still, I like the original. This one, I don't know. There was just something about it. The other thing they do in this is they kind of rewrite, like, the end kind of rewrites the entire world of Ninja Turtles in a way. So, like, it's...
Huh.
Yeah, it's something they've never done. So I'm very interested to see what they would do with a sequel to this, honestly. So...
We actually went, it was yesterday, and saw Oppenheimer.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Heavy stuff.
I know now why people want to watch Barbie afterwards.
Yeah.
It's a, whoa, woof. There is one scene in particular, about two-thirds of the way through, and you can it's at the second of 3 hour long movie that this thing is, by the way, where you know, everything, if you know your history, you know who Oppenheimer was,
right?
What he helped to build, and he's giving a speech where he's just like, yeah, we did it, but he's like at the same time also coming to terms with what exactly it was that he just wrought on the world. And it's just like two things juxtaposed against each other, which is like scary in a real way.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Guardians 3 was a way big bummer than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I will tell you, though, the one line that killed me was the first time they say fuck in the entire MCU.
Oh, yeah.
Get in the car.
Just get in a fucking car. Yeah.
Fucking car. It's just like, oh my God.
That's what we were saving it for? That's what we were saving it for?
Right.
The line that got me was the one about human age, where Mantis is like, he would be 98. He's still alive. Go see your grandpa. And he's like, nah, humans live to be like 50. And she's like, 50? What is even the point of living?
You're not wrong. That fucking movie was dark as shit. Like,
it was. I was expecting. They definitely were like, okay, James Gunn, you can do whatever you want. And he was like, all right, well, I'm a horror director, so let's do this. Like, that's how I got my start. He did it.
The guy they had to play, I forget his name, High Evolutionary. Holy shit.
Iwoje or whatever. I can never remember
how to pronounce his name.
It's
but
very complicated
did an excellent, he was like one of the best Marvel villains at all. Like,
well, he was
ever.
Just Hitler.
Yeah, I mean,
he
that's
was
true.
Super Hitler. He was super Hitler. Hitler. Like, so I was like, okay, all right, I see what you're doing there. Like, halfway through the movie, I'm like, he's Hitler, but his Jews are cute animals. Like, that makes it, like, Jesus. Like, that's what it is. Like, wow, man. Wow.
Yeah.
We watched the pitch meeting for that because we had been saving it. And he was like, that part where he's like, we're going to make this villain the worst villain ever. It's like, how are you doing that? And he's like, well, I have a new technique for making people hate me. He's like, see this puppy? And he had a picture of a puppy, and then he just punches him in the face. The guy's like, I will kill you. He's like, exactly. That's what we're going to have him do. We're just going to have him be extremely cruel to cute animals for 2.5 hours.
Basically.
Oh,
and that's
man.
Movie cast.
Yeah. I still didn't hate it. I liked it. I liked it quite a bit. But yeah, it was my final Marvel movie.
We
decided to watch that one just because it was the end of the Guardians. So,
yeah, to not bog too into the weeds on this, I was having a conversation because there's myself, one guy I work with, and another guy that I used to work with. We all would talk about like Marvel constantly. We watch every single show, every single movie. Like are like constantly talking about like theories and stuff like that. And I've come to the realization that I watch those movies toxically. All of the MCU movies I watch toxically because I don't ever enjoy the movie for the movie. I'm in watching the movie to see how things connect throughout the entire MCU. So movies like Guardians 3, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, that are very self-contained and like a bookend to a place in the MCU.
Yeah.
I'm watching them and nothing happens. And I'm like, well, what, why did we do this movie? You know, forgetting that it's, you know,
a sequel,
a movie on its own.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm the reason that Marvel sucks now because I just don't think demand constant.
I think Marvel did that to themselves. I think that Marvel did that to themselves. I mean, they did something that nobody's ever done before. People liked it, and whenever that happens, it eventually gets destroyed. Like, and I feel like that's what they've done.
Industry. It's the same thing.
It's true. It's the human condition. I feel like they were like, we're gonna make them all connected. Everybody's like, this is awesome. But now we're 20 years in. Nobody cares about the movies on their own, and that includes the people making the movies. That's my biggest problem, is that the people making the movies are like, how many heroes can we cram into this thing? How many villains? How many cameos? How do we make it all connect? And, you know, like, it's they're not self-contained anymore. They haven't been for a really long time, and it's just...
And now they have this problem now of... They are doing stuff in the shows because they want to do stuff in the shows that is canon and connected to the universe, but make them standalone and supplements to everything that's going on in the movies. But they're creating problems for themselves because like one of the most recent, the Secret Invasion show, there's two separate things that Marvel's already dug themselves in a hole on, and they need to find out what they're going to do to like counteract that. It's just like, it's insanity. Like at this point. And I think that's why Bob Iger, since he's taken back over at Disney, is like, yeah, all that shit. No, we're going to knock that shit all out. It's way too much going on.
Way too much. All right, let's do the show. 20 minutes.
The real show. The real show.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do the real show. All right. Going in.